Let me begin by asking you this question. What do you think of a person who says he will do something but doesn't do it? What do you think?
Hypocritical.
What's that?
Hypocritical.
Hypocritical. Okay. Anyone else? You don't think highly of them, do you? If it's like a thumbs up or thumbs down, it's a thumbs down,
yeah.
Right? That's a thumbs down. You say you're going to do it, but you don't do it. Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20. Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Famous text. You've heard it many times. We've been teaching through the text, and we've been in it for actually a while. And so the main command in the text is make disciples. That's the main command. All the other stuff in there is modifying make disciples. And so it talks about things you must do to make disciples. And the first thing to understand in this text is that, verse 18, Jesus has all authority. People must follow him, because if they don't, they're on the wrong side of the guy who has all authority in heaven and on earth. And you don't want to be on the wrong side of that kind of authority. You must follow this kind of authority. You're in big, big, big trouble otherwise. And so that's the first thing to do, is recognize where the authority sits. The second thing is to go. That's verse 19. Go. Don't sit in your house and think you will make disciples. You will not make disciples by sitting in your house. Go. Go meet people. Making disciples involves people. There's no way around that. You're making people to be disciples, to follow Jesus. Go. Get to know people. Go. Love people. Go. Share with them what you know. That's the next thing. After that, it says, we've talked to them, we've gone, and, you know, it says baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. It's in verse 19. Baptism is an identification with Jesus. If you're going to be a disciple, you are going to identify with Jesus. That's just, how can you follow him if you don't even identify with him? You're going to do it. And so they get baptized, disciples get baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. What's next in the verse? Now we're getting to new material. So everything we've talked about in previous messages. So we did a whole message on baptism. And we did a whole message on go. And we did a whole message on all authority. And so now we're getting to what we haven't done a whole message on yet. And that is, we teach them to observe all that I have commanded you, is what Jesus says. It's verse 20. So this is the new idea. Now, I told you earlier that the Greek word for disciple literally means learner. If you're a disciple, you're a learner. A disciple of Jesus is a learner from Jesus. You learn from him. Jesus wants that. He wants people to learn from me. You know, he said, Matthew 11, learn from me, for I am gentle and humble of heart, right? Now, learners need teachers. Learner and teacher go together. They're the opposite side of the same activity. One is on the receiving end, and one is on the giving end, learning and teaching. And so if a disciple literally is a learner, then he needs a teacher. And that's what the verse is saying. Part of making disciples is you teach them to observe all that Jesus has commanded you. Now, in one sense, of course, our ultimate teacher is Jesus. He's our teacher. But it is also true that we need real flesh and blood teachers here in the flesh right now. We need that too. It's not like it's one or the other. It's both. We learn from Jesus, yes, but we also learn how to follow Jesus from other people. Other people who follow Jesus. And if you just kind of think of your life, you can think of people who have helped you follow Jesus. I mean, I can give you names in my life of people who have helped me follow Jesus. And I'm hoping you can give names in your lives of people who have helped you follow Jesus. That's how it is. That's just the way it is. It's why Jesus says, go make disciples, baptizing them and teaching them. That's part of the deal. And so disciples have to learn to follow Jesus. And we must teach them. That's part of our marching orders, so to speak. And it's true of everybody. Wherever you are in following Jesus, we talked about this learner business. You know, you can be in kindergarten and you're learning. You can be in college and you're learning. You're not in the same place. Not all learners are in the same place, but they're all learners. And so wherever you are on that, you can still teach, even if you're in kindergarten. You're going to be able to teach somebody something. And so there are a lot of people who don't know Jesus at all. They're not even in school. And you can teach them what you know, even if you're in preschool. And so, Hondi, you're further down the road than your neighbors in the Lord. And maybe people you work with, you know, some people on staff there. And talk to them about what you know. Even if you may not have all the answers, it's okay. And, you know, Mehran and Miriam, you're farther down the road than Mirdad in following Jesus. Tell them what you know. And so here's the thing. Part of learning to follow Jesus, in other words, part of being a disciple, because the disciple's a learner, is telling other people about following Jesus. It's part of learning. Not only are you teaching, but while you are teaching, you are learning to follow Jesus. It's part of what it is. And you do not have to know the answers to every question. Sometimes people think before they can start teaching, well, I need to be a PhD in following Jesus so I know all the answers before I can start telling people about him. And that's just not true. Here's what you have to know before you can start telling people about Jesus. You have to know Jesus. That's all you have to know. If you know Jesus, you got something to tell. And you'll learn as you teach. And you will learn as you give others what you have. And as you learn, that's what a disciple is, a learner. And so you're learning as you're teaching. Now, teaching does not mean we have this classroom and you are the expert. kind of like, you know, you go to school and you're in algebra or math or whatever, and there's a teacher who knows all the subject matter, and there are all the students sitting there, and the teacher's writing on the whiteboard, and you're taking notes, and that's not the way it works. I'm not saying you can't have good, at, from time to time, a class on something related to the faith. You can do that, but that's not really how discipleship works. It's more like what a father does with his son. Now, when a father teaches his son, a father doesn't set his son down in front of the whiteboard and say, okay, son, today our lesson is going to be on, you know, integrity with your money, and let's and write some things on the board. That's just not the way fathers teach their sons. Or it's more like what a friend does with another friend. It's that kind of teaching, not formal classroom kind of teaching, but life on life teaching. Most teaching actually is informal. When you think about it, most of the things you know and have learned, you didn't learn in a classroom. You learned somewhere else. Think of how you learned your language. How many of you learned your language in a classroom? And how many of you learned your language just growing up in the house? That's how most learning takes place. That's how discipleship takes place. This teaching them to observe thing involves simply as you go, as you're living your life with them, and you're talking to them about Jesus, or you're talking to them about some aspect of Scripture that actually applies to the circumstances right now. So, tell people what you know. Pray for them. Encourage them to learn from Jesus. Encourage that in them. Now, what are we to teach them? Because that's in this verse. He says, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. Okay. There are two parts to what we're to teach in this verse. What I want to do is talk about the second part first. All that I have commanded them. That's what you're to teach, right? Teaching them to observe all that I have commanded them. Okay, well, if that's what we're to teach, what has Jesus commanded us? And so here's what I'm going to do. We're going to take a few minutes, and on that piece of paper you have, I am going to ask you to simply write down commands from Jesus. Just start writing them. Things that come to mind. You're not all going to think of the same things, but just start writing things that Jesus has commanded us to do. And then we're just going to see what you guys come up with. Okay. Let's just talk about what you've written. You could probably write for another hour, and we're not going to do that. There are a lot of things that Jesus has commanded us to do. Give me some examples. Just give me something you wrote down. Anybody?
Tithe.
Okay. Give of your money.
Go the second mile.
Go the second mile. Share what you know.
Share what you know.
Share what you know. And learning and teaching.
Okay.
And no.
Okay. Good. Thank you. Someone else?
Be fishermen of men.
Be fishers of men. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's kind of go share what you know. Those are related anyway. Mm-hmm. What else?
Love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the greatest commandment, right?
Mm-hmm. Love the Lord your God.
Yeah. Love the Lord your God.
Love your neighbor as yourself.
Love your neighbor as yourself.
Turn the other cheek. Turn the other cheek.
Turn the other cheek. That's a hard one.
Don't worry.
Don't worry.
That's another one.
That's a command. That actually is a command. Don't worry. Yeah. What else?
Repent. Don't have any gods before him.
No other gods before him.
Go the second mile.
Go the second mile.
So do not test him. Do not test him.
Don't test him. Okay? So as we're throwing things out, commands, what you should be seeing is it involves a lot of different kinds of things in life. Being a disciple is a whole life endeavor. It's not just a one thing. It's not, on Sunday I got this spiritual thing I do, and that's my compartment, you know? But discipleship is not a compartmentalized thing. It's everything. It involves, Jesus said, you're to believe. You're to have faith. You're to put your treasure in heaven, not put your treasure on earth. Don't worry. Come to Jesus and he will give you rest, he said. That's a command. It's not really an option. Don't lust. Don't be angry without cause. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. These are all commands. And they involve so many. They involve your money. They involve your sex life. They involve your marriage. They involve your business. They involve your work. They involve your school. They involve everything. They involve everything. Jesus gets your life. That's what it means. When you start to think about teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, when you start thinking what that entails, it entails your life. That's what it entails. Jesus, that's what he wants. He doesn't just want people to nod their heads. Oh, yeah. He wants to affect your marriage. He wants to affect your time in school or work, your money, your family. He wants to affect your joy. He wants to affect everything. He wants to be your Lord because he is your Lord. He's your Lord, whether you acknowledge it or not. You don't get to decide whether Jesus is Lord or not. He is Lord, and one day every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. It's not an option that he is Lord. He just wants you to acknowledge it. And if you do, it involves everything, because that's what Lord means. Now, over time, I'm back in Matthew 28 now, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And over time, we're going to teach the whole counsel of what Jesus says to people. But you don't give them the whole bucket load on one day. You can't. You just teach as you go, as it's appropriate. As the door opens, hey, open door, let's take it. But over time, what's going to happen is you're going to start filling in things, and that you're going to teach the whole counsel. You're going to teach all that he has commanded over time. And so what this means, this whole life thing, means being a disciple of Jesus does not end at baptism. Actually, it begins at baptism. I mean, sometimes people think this way. They think, oh, yeah, okay. In fact, I can give you names of some people just recently who I know are baptized, but yet don't really follow Jesus. And part of it is they think they're okay because they're baptized. I'm baptized, and they just go live their life. That is not following Jesus. That's not what a disciple is. Can you imagine a single person who wants to get married, has a wedding day, saying, great, I had the wedding, I'm done. Isn't that crazy? Dude, you're not done. That was day one. The wedding is day one. It's not the end, it's the beginning. The wedding is it's not the culmination. Now it's you and your wife or your husband if you're a girl, And now you have to learn to live together as one, because that's what you are. I mean, in marriage, the two become one. And now you have to live that way. And living that way is something you have to learn how to do. It's just like, in that sense, it's like following Jesus. You come to him, and now you have to learn how to follow him. And so when you become a Christian, you've just begun. You now have to learn a new life, because the Christian life is not the old life you used to live. You got to learn this new life. You have to learn a new way of thinking, because the Christian way of thinking is not your old way of thinking. Jesus does not think the way Instagram thinks. He thinks a completely different way. And you have to kind of get social media thinking out of your head and put Jesus thinking in. Following Jesus is a whole life endeavor. And that is why when we teach, we're not just teaching the commands. I want you to look back at it again. Now we're going to go back to the first part. I told you there were two parts. The second part is, what does he command? You know, we're to teach all that he commands. But the first part is, we're to teach them to observe all that he commands. That word observe, different translations translate it differently. Some translate it keep. That's actually the literal Greek word, keep. Some translate it obey. But you get the idea. It's really the same idea. Whether it's observe, keep, or obey, you're saying the same thing. When we teach, we're not to teach just content. We're to teach obedience. And there's a difference between those. Obedience involves the content. It involves all those commands we just talked about. But obedience is deeper. It's not enough to just know what Jesus said. You have to do it. Though there's a difference between knowing and doing. It's not enough to know what Scripture teaches. You have to live it. And so the Scripture here in Matthew 28, it's telling us to teach them to obey all that he has commanded. Disciples obey Jesus. I don't mean disciples obey perfectly, because we don't. I mean, let's be honest about that. We're not talking about perfection here. We still fall. But a disciple takes obedience seriously. You may fall, but when you fall, it really bugs you. It bothers you that you fall. You don't want that. You want to, you're a learner. You're trying to learn how to follow this Savior. And disobedience bothers you. That's a good sign. When disobedience bothers you, that's good. It should bother you. But obedience is part of discipleship. Now, obedience is one of these words today that we don't like. I mean, if you really love the word obedience, raise your hand. I mean, it's one of those things, no one likes to be told to obey. It's just not how we're wired. And so we say, whoa, let's back off on this obedience thing a bit. Sometimes people hear the word obedience and they think legalism. You're just being legalistic. That's how some people think. Isn't it better to love than to obey? You know? That I've heard people talk this way before. I mean, so two words, love, obedience. Which word do you like best? Love. Right. Everybody likes love, much more than obedience. If you just hear the two words. And didn't Jesus say that the greatest commandment was to love? To love the Lord your God? So, hey, let's just love. And we don't need to deal with the obedience part. Let's just love. And so, and you say that's kind of crazy, but that's a lot of people think this way. The problem is Jesus didn't think this way. So here, listen to Jesus for a moment. Here's what he says. This is John 14, 15. Jesus says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Or, and that word keep, do you know what that word keep is? It's the same word that Matthew's using right here that says teaching them to observe, keep, obey all that I have commanded you. It's the same word. Or John in 1 John 5:3, here's what he says. "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments." And you know that word keep that John is using? It's the same word that Matthew is using right here in Matthew 28. Guys, love and obedience go together. You can't separate them. When people consistently and stubbornly disobey Scripture, it's because they don't love God. When Jesus said, "These are the two greatest commandments," he said, "All of the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." What he's saying is that if you love, you're going to naturally follow the commandments. You're going to obey. That's the idea. And so don't ever, 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 ever separate love and obedience. Don't ever do that. Don't think that way. If somebody starts talking that way, that is nonsense. Don't go there. The moment you do that, the moment you rip obedience away, you don't have love anymore, because love obeys. And so don't do that. We teach disciples to obey all that Jesus has commanded us because we want them to love him. And that's part of what love is. They go together. We teach obedience because we teach love. Guys, I want you to love Jesus with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Which means I want you to obey him. Now, this obeying him, part of the problem we have with obedience as well is this sense that, oh, I can't obey him. I just can't. It's hard. It is hard. You will never obey Jesus just by working up inside you enough strength and determination and ability to do it. You're not, I'm going to obey here. I'm going to obey. I'm just going to do it. And here's the deal. You can fake it for a short time. You can do it for a week or a month or whatever. But sooner or later, Satan wears you down. It's like it's kind of like we get into the boxing ring against sin. And we say, "All right, come on, sin, let's go," you know? And you might get a couple punches in, but sin's too strong. Sin's going to knock you over. It's going to knock you out. Because you're not strong enough on your own. If you try to obey Jesus in your own strength, you will fail. You actually have to die to yourself. This is a biblical concept. Now, it means a lot of things, dying to self. But included in dying to self is dying to living life in your own strength. It involves allowing Jesus to have his way in you. It's an acknowledgement that I'm weak. I'm poor in spirit, you know, as Jesus put in the Beatitudes. I'm bankrupt spiritually on my own. And I need you, Lord Jesus. That's part of what it means. Jesus, he put it this way. He said that if anyone would follow him, they must deny themselves and take up their cross and come follow him. That's dying to yourself. Or Jesus put it this way. You have to lose your life if you want to find it. Or he said it this way. You're like a kernel of wheat that falls into the ground and dies. And then it produces fruit. Or he said you have to seek first the kingdom of God. Not yourself, but the kingdom of God. The world doesn't exist for you. You don't even exist for you. You exist for him. And so you have to die to you so that he can live him inside. And so the life we live in us is Christ. You know, Paul in Galatians 2, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet it is not I, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. It's not I, but Christ. This is how the life needs to be. If we're going to obey, we need to let Christ live in us, because you're not going to be able to obey. You're just not that strong. I'm sorry. I'm sure you're a wonderful person, but you're not that strong. Obedience, then, comes by faith. Faith from the heart produces obedience. So when we teach obedience, we should be teaching faith. Trust Jesus. That's what faith is, right? Trust. By his grace, you can trust him enough to obey. Obedience comes by love. So we teach love. But real love. Biblical love that takes seriously the commands that love is supposed to do. And so we are to teach people to observe all that Jesus has commanded. Okay, I want to try to make this practical, obedience. I've said obedience flows from love, and it does. Obedience flows from faith, and it does. Sometimes we think faith and works, we separate them. And for salvation purposes, you're not saved by works. You're saved by faith. But faith produces works. You know, we're saved by grace through faith, not by works, lest anyone should boast, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. And then verse 10 says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works in Christ. In other words, we're saved by faith, not by works, for we're his workmanship created for good works. The faith brings about the works. And so Christians should be different. You should actually live a different life. You actually should obey the commands because you have faith, because you have Christ in you. When Christ's in you, you're different. And if you're different, you live differently. Okay, so some things that will increase your love. Things that will increase your faith will also increase your obedience. So, practical steps that will help you. I'm going to say absolutely nothing new here. It's probably stuff you've heard 1,000 times, and which is good. We should sometimes hear the same things again and again. It's just basic discipleship stuff. So, one, this is going to help your love for God and your faith in Christ, which is going to help your obedience. One, give Jesus time. Give him time. It means turn off the TV. Get off social media or the computer. Give Jesus an hour a day or more. Give him lots of time. Just you and him. If you have an hour to be on the computer or on social media or to watch a movie, that's a couple hours, I guess. But you don't have time for Jesus, we got a problem. Because what you're saying with your life is, well, I got time for this movie, but I don't have time for Jesus. You see how that's a priority issue? Change your priority. If you got time for a movie, drop the movie, spend time with Jesus. You got time for Jesus then. That's you just made that choice. Don't tell me you don't have time. You do. You just chose to prioritize something else instead of Jesus. Give Jesus your time. Trust him. Give him your time. Second thing, read Scripture daily. If you are to obey all that he commands, then you need to know what he commands. And that's in Scripture. If you are to love him, then you want to know what he says. I mean, who, you know, guy meets girl, guy falls in love with girl, guy loves girl, doesn't he want to know what she says? Isn't that the most natural thing? When you love someone, you actually want to know what they say. It's the same thing with Jesus. If you love him, you want to know what he says. So, get into the Scriptures, get to know what he says. And when you read Scripture, read it with a heart to know God. Don't read it just to find out nice facts. You want to know God. This is about getting to know God, not getting information. Those are different things. Third thing, pray daily. You know how you get to know someone? You talk to them. This is how you get to know people. You hang out, you talk. You want to get to know God? Talk to him. Don't just come and bring your requests as if prayer is nothing more than about you and your needs. I mean, if all we ever did in our marriage is when we talk, I just tell her, I ask her for my needs, and we don't ever talk about anything else. That's a problem. That's a problem in our marriage. A lot of people have that problem in their relationship with God. What it says is, your prayer life is just about you and what you need. And obviously there's nothing wrong with doing that. We actually do talk about our needs, and you should talk about your needs. It's just that there's so much more to prayer than that. A lot more. And so praise him. Thank him. You got lots of things to thank him for. Start telling him some of those things. Thank him. Enjoy him. When you love someone, you enjoy them. It's part of love. So do that with God. He wants that. Rest in him. Tell him how wonderful he is. As you read Scripture, pray it back to him. Your prayer life affects your love life with God. It just does. It really does. What that means is the richer your prayer life, the richer your love life with God. And the stronger your obedience, because love and obedience are tied together. You can't separate them. Fourth thing, meet with God's people. You cannot follow Jesus all by yourself. You cannot do it. You cannot do it. You can't. It means participate regularly with a local church. Plug into a church community. This is where you meet people who actually understand. You know how you go to work, you go to school, you go and you're surrounded by all sorts of people who they're not Christians, and you have these struggles as a Christian, and they have no clue. They have absolutely no clue. You come with the body of Christ, and all of a sudden, everybody's got a clue, because it's like, oh, you too? Yeah, man, I've been... Same thing with me. And there's encouragement in that. And you can find people who've actually been through it before. And you can talk to them about it. And what did you do? And you need this. You have to have this. It's essential for your own faith. The church, meeting with God's people, this is where you become a family. This is where you hear the Bible taught. This is where people encourage you to walk in obedience. This is where you find this kind of community. You find it with the church. And so it's essential to your walk with God. If you separate yourself from God's people, you will not follow God. I just tell you that flat out. You will not follow God. 5, share your faith. Jesus commands his disciples to go and make disciples. And so sharing your faith is a command. And the more you do it, the more you learn how to follow Jesus. We talked about that before. Because for many people, sharing your faith is a step of faith. Sometimes it's kind of hard and scary. But when you take that step of faith and you see God is with you in it, it's like, oh, wow, Lord, you were with me. He even rejected me, but you were with me. It was okay. And so not everyone's going to respond the same way. You're not responsible for that. You just go share. And so we're to teach people to observe all that Jesus has commanded them. So, give Jesus time, read Scripture daily with a heart to know God, pray daily, and get to know your Lord. Meet regularly with God's people. Share your faith. Those are some steps to get started. It's not complete. There are lots of other things we could talk about that we're not. So, what I want to do now is this. I want you to think of something that Jesus commands that you're not doing or that you're avoiding or that you're struggling with. Maybe you're kind of sort of doing it, kind of. Something that's hard for you. Something that is commanded in Scripture that's hard for you. I want just... Think of what that is. And so I hope you have something in mind. And I want to say this, obey him. I would be negligent if I did not encourage you to love him and trust him and obey him in what that thing is. That's what I'm told to do. I'm to teach you to obey. so obey. But you do it in Christ, not in your strength. You do it with Jesus in you, not just you getting up all the strength that you can muster inside to do it. But following Jesus always gets practical. It's always this way. Jesus insists that following him involve real life and not just some nice theory. It always involves some issue in life that's hard. Okay, we're going to close with prayer. And all I'm going to do is just ask two or three of you